Okay, thank you very much for inviting me back again. It's an honor for me to speak to you, and it's always a pleasure to come listen to Rabbi Levine and his teachings to you. And you're very fortunate, Chabura, to be able to have such a Rebbe to teach you every day. Talk about a little about the Megillas Eicha, not so much the Megillah, but the concept of the Churban, what it meant, what it did to us, how do you survive a Churban, what do we need to do going forward. These are things that maybe we'll discuss a little about. The Megillas Eicha starts out with Eicha Yoshva Vodot, Vira Bosiam, Hoiso Kalmona. So Yirmiyahu compares us to an almana, compares us to a widow. A widow. Widows ba'avelus. We find also when we say the litzion, we say the same concept, the same metaphor, kivsulo chagura sak habal norea, even to bring out that point a little more, that we are saying not just a widow, but a widow over her husband of her youth. That you can't have a bigger pain than a widow could possibly have over that. And in fact, there's a medrash which says that Yirmiyahu came across a woman after the Churban, and she was dressed in black, and she was the embodiment of Tzion in her Avelus. So you see that there's a very strong comparison, or these metaphors that are used to tell us that our loss of the Beis HaMikdash, our loss of Tzion, is like going into Avelus. In fact, it's not just a metaphor. It's trying to bring out this point that we are Avelim. It's not just a comparison. That's how bad it was, like if you would be an Avel. It's telling us, the fact that he uses this metaphor so many times, that we are actually Avelim. We are in mourning over the Churban. So, we that live so far away from the Churban, and we didn't actually experience the Beis HaMikdash, so it's a little more difficult for us to feel the Avelus that we have. But it shouldn't be worse, and we should really look at it that Tisha B'Av is like a Yahrzeit. You know, people go their ways after they suffer a loss, and but you know, you don't think so much about the Nifter as time goes on, of course. But when it comes to Yahrzeit, everybody thinks about the Nifter. Everybody thinks about what impact that person had on their life, how much they miss him, how to carry on without them. These are things that go through a person's mind. And Kedayu Beis Elokeinu, it's Kedai the Baruch Shalom's house, that we should be mourn the Sreifa one time a year. So one time a year, we have to look at it as if it's as if it is, and it actually is a Yahrzeit to us. So, the Tisha B'Av is coming up, and these are some points that I want to bring out, maybe, as far as what the Beis HaMikdash, one aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Beis HaMikdash had many, there were many different aspects that it had to it, many different purposes in our life that it fulfilled. There's one in particular that I maybe want to speak about today, which gives us an idea of really how we were able to survive until now and how to survive going forward. I'd like to speak about a Gemara, an unbelievable Gemara, truly an unbelievable Gemara. And the Gemara looks like it doesn't have any connection to us, but we're going to see that it's really not like that. It has a very strong connection to us. Let's learn through the Gemara a little. It's Agadata, it's an easy Gemara to go through. The Gemara says, Tanan Hossam. This Gemara is in Bab Metzia Daf Nun Tes. It says Tanan Hossam. This is a Mishnah in Kalim. Chotcho Chulyos. In those days, they used to have the ovens, and the ovens were shaped as like a funnel, and it was made out of rings. Now, after you made the oven, if you cut it into rings, and then you put sand in between them, and you piled them on again, so. Is that, does it retain its, and then even if you put it in the oven, but it has the sand in the middle. There is no cement. It's not on? There is no cement on the outside. You have the sand in the middle. Is it one din of an oven, or does it have a din of keli? Does it have a din of a keli, which is tomei? So that's the machloikis that we have over here. Chotcha chulyas v'nosan chol ben chulya l'chulya. So we had a very big machloikis on this. Rebbe Lezer, the great Rebbe Lezer, who was probably, together with Rabbi Yeshua, certainly was the biggest Tana of his time. And Rebbe Lezer mitar v'chachomim mitamin. Rebbe Chachomim said, no, it has a din of a keli, and it's going to be tome. Rebbe Lezer says it has a din of an oven that's tied to the ground, and therefore it's not going to be mitame. V'zehu shel tanur shel v'zehu tanur shel achnoi. This is what we call the tanur shel achnoi. What is achnoi? A snake. If you ever saw the way a snake coils itself around, one time I remember I was by some water and I looked down and I saw a bunch of black. It looked like there were black tires, small tires like bicycle tires. Until I looked a little closer and I saw that there was the mouth of the snake next to the tail of the snake and these perfect rings, but they were actually snakes all over the place. Water snakes, I assume. But nevertheless, that's way a tanner, and that's what they called this. They called this incident the tanner shel achnoi. Mai achnoi? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel shekifu dvorim ka'achno zu. They surrounded Rebbe Lezer. All they ganged up on him. They surrounded him. Ka'achno zu and v'timuhu. And they were metame the oven, and they were metame whatever came out of the oven. Tana, we learned, Bo'isa Yoim, Heshiv Rebbe Lezer, Kol Tshuva Sheba Olam. Then they really had a war that time, Mochamte Shel Torah. Rebbe Lezer came and brought in all the arguments that he was able to. Kol Tshuva Sheba Olam, Vloi Kiblu Himenu. And they weren't mekabel his arguments. It doesn't even mean that they refuted it, but it means they weren't mekabel his arguments. Omer Lehem, Im Halocha Kemoisi, Choruv Zeh Yoichiach. If I am correct, let this the churuv, the boxer tree, let it show that I am correct. The churuv became uprooted and it flew out of its place 100 amma. So Omrulay, they said, too bad. Ein mevin raya min achruv. So the Vilna Gaon explains what this means is that the churuv is something that is, we know, Reb Shimon, Bar Yochai, Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, they ate the churuv. That's something that basically gives you your basic sustenance, but that's all it gives you. So nobody that learned Torah more out of poverty than with no sustenance almost whatsoever than Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. Then Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus. We know that his father disowned him to a certain extent in the beginning, in the very beginning. And so he says, my Torah is pure. That's a schooler for clarity in Torah, and therefore let that bring a raya. And they said, no, that will not bring a raya. See, Chozer v'omer lehem, im halocha kemoisi, amas amayim yechichu. If I'm correct, let the amas amayim be mechich. Mayim is what? Mayim is a simon for anova. Okay? So he says, let that be mechich. Chozer v'omer amas amayim, which is also a schooler for greatness in Torah.
So
they said, here it means anivus in Torah. So he says, they said, chazur amayim lachareim, and the water flowed backwards. We don't bring a raya from that. That's still not able to sway us in our decision. Chazur amar lehem, im alocha kemoisi koisle beis hamedrash yechichu. Let the koisel of the beis medrash be mechich, because no one spent more time in the beis hamikta in the beis hamedrash koisel beis hamedrash than me. So hatu behitu koisel beis hamedrash lipol, and they started to cave in. So Gara ben Rabbi Yeshua, the great Rabbi Yeshua, said to them, "It's not your business." Or v'lahem im talmidei chachomim minatzchim zezeh ba'alocha. If the talmidei chachomim are arguing in alocha, it's not your business. You stay out of it. And because Rabbi Yeshua demanded that they stay, they didn't fall. But they did not stand up because of Kvod Yeshua Rabbi Lezer. And they are, till this day, are slanted. So Rabbi Lezer says, I am right. I'll prove to you, Mishamayim, they will be machich. And Yotzu Baskol came out, L'chvoid of Rebbe Lezer, and said, Malochem Eitzel Reb Elezer. Why are you arguing with Reb Elezer? Halacha k'moisei b'chol mokim. Halacha is like him everywhere. Omer Reb Yeshua Ragla v'omer loy b'shamayim hi. We will decide the halacha. It was given over to us, and it is not mishamayim to decide who the halacha is. So my loy b'shamayim hi. Omer Reb Yirmiyahu shekvar nitna Torah misinai. Einonu mashkichin b'bas kol shekvar kosvu b'har Sinai b'toyra acher rabim lahatis. Unbelievable story. It continues. Ashkechei Reb Nosson Lelio Amalei Mayovid Kutcho Brichu Ba'ishaita. What is the Rosh Hashanah doing at this time? Amalei Kochoyech V'Oman Nitzchuni Bonai Nitzchuni. He's laughing and he says, my sons have been victorious over me. For Reb Elezer was really right, but Leiva Shamayimi, and this is how they paskin. Amalei Sayoim, that day, what did they do? To underscore their victory, they brought all the taras that were used in that oven that Reb Elezer said was Torah, and they burnt them all. Nimnu olav, and they put him ibirchu, and they put Reb Elezer ben Hurkis in Chayim, the Godel Ador, the unequivocal Godel Ador, who brought rayas from this world and from the next world that he was correct, and they put him in Chayim. As it says, Amalei had say, who's going to tell him? Amalei and Reb Akiva ani eilich. I will go tell him, because if somebody inappropriate goes there, so then he'll destroy the world. So Reb Akiva goes and he sits next to him and he shows him a siman that they put him in Chayim. So it says, what did he do? What was his reaction of Elezer ben Hurkanus? Afu kora begodov. He ripped his begonim. Cholatz menolov. And he took off his shoes. And v'nishmat v'yoshev al gavi karka. And he went and he sat on the karka. Zolgo inov demos. And he started crying. Said Loka Oilam, and the world was, a third of the world's produce was devastated. And the Gemara says, the Gemara continues on with a story like this. The Gemara tells us, Afreb Gamliel, Hayabo Besvina, Reb Gamliel was in a boat. And Omad Olav Nachshol Litovoi, a great wave came to bury the boat. And Omar Kimedumali, Shein Zele Bishvil Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus. This is because of the tzar that we have caused Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus. Omad al raglav, so Reb Gamliel got up and he stood up and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Goloi v'yadua lefanecha, Shaloi l'kvoidi, not because of my personal honor did I do this, V'loi l'kvoid beis abo asisi, El l'choid kvoidcha, and here are the key words, Shlo yirbu machloikes b'Yisrael, and noch hayom isofo, in order that there shouldn't be machloikes in Yisrael. And the Yam stopped its rage. So the Gemara tells us ultimately what the end of it was, that his wife, Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus' wife, wouldn't let him say Tachnun, because if he was Tachnun, his tzar would come out, and that would destroy Reb Gamliel, and there was a mix-up on the day of Rosh Chodesh. He ended up saying Tachnun, and he ended up that Reb Gamliel was killed because of that, because of the tzar that he had. Well, now, here we have to understand this Gemara. It's very interesting, and the main point of the Gemara is the Loi B'Shamayim Hi, but there's a another aspect of the Gemara I want to discuss. And that is that this is already 200 years after the first Machlokes that we had already started. Well after the Machlokes. The Gemara says, in fact, that the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was so strong at the point, it even looked like they were like as if there were two Torahs. That's what it looked like. So we know that Machlokes and Torah was nothing new. And nevertheless, we see that Reb Gamliel is made, that I had no choice over here but to put him in Chayim because of Machlokes and Torah. What changed? Why was this reaction necessary? And, as we said before, Reb Gamliel was a brother-in-law to Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus. So that means he put his own brother-in-law, okay, in Chayim. Now, well, of course, obviously, first of all, he was Talmud Chacham, he was the Gadol Ador. Plays Mitzar, his sister. I mean, to have such a reaction in an oifen where he's causing a personal tzar, so therefore, obviously, it was a personal tzar to him also. And nevertheless, he said, I have to do this. And what was the chshash? The chshash was, maybe you're doing it because of your personal. He was made not like that. And the yam relaxed after that. So you see that he was correct. It was true. It wasn't personal. It wasn't for his father either. It wasn't, means the Beis HaNasi. It wasn't for the institution of the Nesias either. It was in order that there shouldn't be a machlokes. So we have to know what exactly changed over here that caused such a reaction. So I believe that the answer to this is that what changed was that this was after the Churban. That's what changed. Once there was the Churban, the unifying force that we had, the Beis HaMikdash, which is something that unified us all. We were all Oile Regel. No matter what circle you came from, we all ended up in the Beis HaMikdash. We were one with the Ribbono Shel and all of our brethren through the Beis HaMikdash. That no longer existed. At that point, Machloikis in Torah became a tremendous sakana. Because they would have ended up, and we know that's the way it was, the Tanoim had their, each one had their sets of Mishnayis, until Rabbeinu HaKodesh put it together, each one had his set of Torah. So there would have been, of course, there would have been a base Rabbi Akiva, and there would have been a base Rabbi Yossi, and there would have been a base Rabbi Elazar, but there wouldn't have been a base Yisrael. It was necessary in order to keep us together at this point to make a statement that there cannot be two Torahs in Yisrael, because there is no unifying force. And then we will splinter and no longer remain the nation that we are. Right? Now, the Gemara tells us, another Gemara, Gemara in Gittin, famous Gemara that we all know. The Gemara tells us that when Vespasian was got news that he was to become the emperor of Rome, so it says he granted, he had a meeting, and in fact that was foretold to him by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he granted Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai some wishes. So what did he grant Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? So we know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for three things. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for Tainli Yavne v'chachameha, and he said, and give me the Shalsheles, give me Rabbi Gamliel, the Mishpachas HaNosi. And then he asked, of course, for the doctor for Rabbi Zachariah, which was thrown in as just as a red herring, as just to show him, you know, to throw him off the scent and say that, listen, just like that's not so important. So likewise, the other things weren't so crucial. But let's be medayik in what he asked for. He didn't say, Tainli Chachme Yavne, give me the Tanoim that are in Yavne. He said, give me Yavne v'chachamel. I need the institution of Yavne and Chachamel. I need the permission to set up a Sanhedrin, a Bezdin, which will be the ultimate authority for Halacha. It wasn't that the Chachme was the Iker. It was Yavne v'chachamel, was this institution that he was getting permission from. And I believe, would like to say, that the asking for Reb Gamliel to be spared was in the same vein as Yavne v'chachamel. In the same vein that he knew, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai knew, that there had to be one Torah. We had to have one unifying force, and one authority that was able, would be able to keep everybody together. And that could only be the Nasi. Only someone that came from the glorious Mishpacha of the Nasiim of Hillel and Banav would be able to make sure that this, in fact, will come to fruition. Otherwise, we're at a sakana. Our existence is as a sakana. And that's what he said, Tainli Yavne v'chachamel and Reb Gamliel. Vespasian, the Romans didn't think in beyond their wildest dreams that without the Beis HaMikdash we would remain as one nation. They plowed the Beis HaMikdash, they changed the name of Eretz Yisrael to Palestine, they did whatever they can to make it no longer exist. They didn't have an inkling, and they said, listen, why should we look like we're trying to stamp them out completely? We'll give them these little things because it's not going to help them at all. So he gave through to that. Now, they saw afterward, almost immediately afterward, they saw the mistakes they had. And the tremendous redifus started, and they killed the factor. They wanted to kill out the Nasi's Mishpacha. They did. But after that point, it was too late. And this is the fulfillment, Reb Gamliel, the Maisa that we read in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, is the fulfillment of what Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai was talking about. That was, I am being mashbia, Ribbono Shel, not l'chvoidi, did I have to put my own brother-in-law, almost my flesh and blood, in cherem, and not for the kvoid of the nesius of my forefathers, of our family, but I did it for one reason alone. Shlo yirba machloikis in Torah b'Yisrael. And that was necessary in order for the unity of Klal Yisrael to go forward. You have to understand what the devastation was at that time. And that leads us really to the next point that I want to talk about a little. It says, we lane in the Pasuk, I think it's Pasuk Vav, it says, Vayetzi mi bas tzion kol hador. All the splendor was removed from bas tzion. And the end of the Pasuk says, Vayelcho b'loy koyach lifnei roidev. The end of the Pasuk says, all the splendor was removed, and we went before our enemies without any strength whatsoever. So the Dubna Magid says, what connection does one point have to the other? All the splendor was removed from Tzion, that's one issue. The fact that we had no strength to continue on, that's another issue. What does one thing have to do with the other? The Maggid says a beautiful mashal. He says, if you want to know if someone left, you had a store in town, and the store says closed on the sign, and you don't know whether or not it's closed temporarily, or is it closed permanently, you have to look inside a little bit. See if the shelves are missing, if all the furniture is gone. Then you know that he's not coming back. It's not opening up for business. But if you see that some things are left behind, so you say, oh, there's a good chance that he will return. When we saw the utter devastation, Yirmiyahu tells us in Echo, of what happened in Tzion, it says that Vayetze mitzioi mibas tzion kol hadoro, all of its splendor. Bashom didn't leave any remnants for us to rebuild it with. Then, when we saw that devastation, so then at that point it was Vayelchu b'loy koyach lifnei roidev. We have no strength to carry on. If we have no hope for the future, then we have no way that we could possibly carry on. And this is what the Pasuk is saying. And what is it that we do have, and why do we exist, and what actually gave us hope? That was the words of the Nevi'im, the words of the Navi. The Medrash says, Chayechem, on this Pasuk, Chayechem she'ani goyel eschem ge'ula shleima shenema ubo l'tzion goyel. You should know by your life, there may be devastation. You will get the ge'ula, I promise you. Ubo l'ge'ula, ubo l'tzion goyel. So this is what has kept us going throughout the years. And this has been the point that the Goyim have attacked us the most on all the years. What are you relying on? The fact that the Rosh Hashanah is going to come get you? He's not coming to get you. He's abandoned us. We, the Christians, said we are the new Jews. So therefore, your whole answer that the Rosh Hashanah has promised, he hasn't promised it to you. He promised to us. We're the new Jews, not you. And that's what their attack was. But we live by the words of the Navi. And the words by the Navi was a promise to us. And we know who us are. And we know that Rav Shem has promised us Ubo L'tzion Goyel. Right? We find a very interesting Mesh Chochma. Mesh Chochma says that the Gemara in Gittin also, the Gemara says that there were five, the Gemara in Tainis says this, but there are five calamities that happened on Tisha B'Av. And one of them was Milka Beitar. It was Beitar. Beitar was a town, hundreds of thousands of people, and they were even a couple with the children, certainly there were millions, and it was all wiped out on Tisha B'Av. And the Romans did not allow any burial. For 7 years they lay. The Gemara tells us that the trail of blood flowed into the sea. They used the blood, the Romans, to fertilize their vineyards. Can you imagine the devastation of such a thing? This is real. You imagine such a thing in front of your eyes, it's unimaginable. Finally, when the Romans gave permission to bury them, and they came in, they saw that the bodies hadn't decomposed, and they were given permission, it says, Omad, and they were mesaken the bracha of atoiva meitiv. So the Mesh Chochma asks, now where do we find that for a nest that happened to a chelik of a population, that we are misakein a bracha for the entire nation? It's very unusual that we would do such a thing. So he says a beautiful and very important yisoid, he tells us. He says it wasn't merely that they saw that that the Baruch Shem did chesed with the Harugei Beitar. But what we saw from here was a new hanhoga from the Ribon Shalom. That lev malochim v'sorim b'yad Hashem. You could have the most ruthless, brutal, heartless Roman emperors, and Ribon Shalom says it's time for them to do something. Lev malochim v'sorim b'yad Hashem. Ribon Shalom will change their minds and their hearts. And that is how we will survive in Golis. And that is how we did survive in Golis. And because this was a hanhoga that we saw that's applicable to the entire nation, so we made a bracha atoiv v'hametiv, because we now know that our survival is how we will see the survival. It's a strength for us. And on that we say the bracha atoiv v'hametiv. You know, I stopped off from Eretz Yisrael, and I went, and I was in Venice. And I was staying in a hotel, and I looked out on the over, and all I saw on top of every other building was a cross. And the only thing I could say to myself is, how did the Jews get out of Europe alive? You can't imagine the strength of the church. Every single, this was in Vienna, but what was in Poland? Who knows? The Christians in Poland. How did we ever get out of Poland alive? And the answer is that this is what the Navi has promised us, that I will take you out. This is something that we have to understand, the limud. This is how we have survived. And in fact, the pasuk that we will lane, okay, that we will lane is, in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks, is that the pasuk says, Tzion v'mishpat tipoda v'shover b'tzdaka. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky asks, why does it say twice such a lashon? Tzion b'mishpat tipode. Should have just said Tzion b'mishpat v'tzdaka tipode. Why does it say Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shover b'tzdaka? So Reb Chaim says a very, very important point that we all have to know. Very important lesson for us to know. That certainly Tzion b'mishpat tipode. That was promised to us by the Navi of Olitzi and Goyal. However, how do we know that we personally are going to be able to partake of that? What schus do we have that we will partake of that? That's Vishavel B'tzdaka. That's the second part. This is a two-part. Tziyin b'mishpat tipode? Yes. That we should be included personally? That's Vishavel B'tzdaka. So we know that the Churban was caused by Sinas Chinam, right? Sinas Chinam tears the people apart. It tears our people apart that we're no longer one. And from here we see, the Gemara tells us, that we must be one. We must be one with the Ribbono Shel Olam through His Torah. Torah has to be one. There cannot be different facets of the Torah. You cannot have five different Shulchan Aruchs. There has to be one unified Torah. And in fact, in addition to that, our peoples must be one. We must know how to do tztaka, utztaka v'shaver b'tztaka. Because by doing tztaka one with the other, so what we are doing is we're saying that you are me and I am you. And you are my brother and I care about you. And again, this makes us into one people. And this is how we survived over the years. We unified ourselves, we strengthened ourselves with the Torah. From the Churban came out, Rebbe was Mesadel the Mishnayis. And from the Mishnayis, we know the Gemara Bavli came about. And Gav Bavli came about. The Bavli is one Psak Halacha that we have. It's considered the final word, the final Pesach. So we ended up with one Torah to remain close with the Ribbono Shel Olam and dedicated to the Ribbono Shel Olam through his one Torah. And in addition to that, we have the Tzedakah and the Chesed that we have to do one with each other. And this is what has helped us and has enabled us to survive. It's the antidote to Sinas Chinam, is the Amelus and the dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam with one Torah, and the dedication to each other with Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaver b'tzdaka. And this is what we have to continue. This is how we have to know this lesson, how we survived, And this is what we have to know. We have to continue. And Mirtz Hashem, if we continue, we will actually see that Uvolet Zion Goyel. And then we will be able to be together with the Baruch Shem Yisrael, Faraisa, V'kutcho Brichu, Chadu. We are all one. And we will be one in the place, in the Beis Hamikdash, the most unifying force that exists in this world. And Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zoichet to see the Gula, Mimheiru Rabbi Amen. Yeah, I'm sorry.